You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
Hello and welcome, dear listeners and friends.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome to our program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy. We are Nick and Mary Angela. And as always, we're so very glad you can join us.
Thank you very much, dear friends. So we start the evening with some intentions before our opening prayer. For all those who are suffering mentally, physically, spiritually, and some who are suffering financially, we also pray for the end of violence around the world, especially in the Ukraine. We pray for an end to the pandemic. We pray that the hospitals do not get overwhelmed with sick patients and viral infections. We pray for all those who have passed away since our last show, and for all those people we said we'd pray for, and we also pray for your intentions. So we start with a prayer.
We pray that the coming of baby Jesus transforms our world as we await his coming again. So the topic this time around is, of course, we're entering the Advent season. So we want to talk and discuss about how we can celebrate Jesus' coming. We're still dealing with this pandemic, though some people think it's all done and gone, but we're still dealing with
it. Still hanging around.
Yeah, and not only the pandemic, but there's also other viral infections going around.
Yeah.
So that we have to be aware of. There's the flu.
Influenza, all different strains. So, you know, protect yourself, do what you have to do, mask, take your vaccines, and most of all, keep Jesus at the center through prayer.
So in dealing with all of this, let's try to focus in on Jesus's coming and try to deal with it in a festive and joyous way.
That's the first part of the show.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be focusing on.
And
as well,
the second part of the show after the break, we will recap all the topics that we spoke about in the past year. So we'll try to condense 11 to 12 programs in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, can you believe it's been a year?
Yeah, a year already.
Already. We started, another year.
We started with the year of renewal to set the world on fire. And the last part, you won't want to miss it. It's a wonderful YouTube audio with Father Vito sharing some beautiful words about Advent leading into Christmas.
So you don't want to miss that ending.
Yeah.
So our purpose, as always, is to spread the message of the gospel of the good news. We use many prayers, reflections, especially reflections of joy, always keeping Jesus at the center. And we hope that we are able to share with you some thoughts, some ideas, affirmations to consider on the joy of Advent and the coming of Jesus and the joy of Christmas.
Christmas, what a beautiful word. We need to say it loud. We need to celebrate it, right? Because it's not just a holiday, it's a Christmas holiday. So, but before that, we start with Advent. The word Advent derives from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming. So the Lord is coming. We may reflect that every year at this time we celebrate his coming. It's an expectancy, a joyful anticipation. During Advent, we recall the history of God's people and reflect on how the prophecies and promises of the Old Testament were fulfilled. This gives us a background for the present.
The Advent season is a time to observe a time of hopeful waiting, a longing, and a preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus at Christmas. And for us as Christians, the season of Advent anticipates the coming of Christ from two different perspectives. It's a season that offers the opportunity to share the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, and also to be alert for his second coming. Yeah, so like during the Advent season, it always just creeps up on us, don't you find, Nick?
Yeah, we're just, we go from summer and then we go to Thanksgiving and next thing you know, there's Christmas carols being played.
And so Advent gives us a time for that longing and that waiting and like we get to be so busy, busy, busy during this time of year because we, you know, go Christmas shopping, do this party and go here and go there and prepare for Christmas and get these gifts and, bake these cakes and cookies.
And that's all fine and dandy. But what we really need to do is we need to
slow down,
gear it down. Don't forget to slow down. Take it easy. You don't want to get Advent burnout.
Let's focus on what is at hand. Like what we're really celebrating is, and we really need to focus in on, is on the coming of the Lord.
Yeah, and it all makes sense when, you know, with all the wonderful things we do and all the activities we're involved with in the Advent season, when we hear the song Silent Night, it all makes sense. But why not have that kind of sense of peace and joy throughout the whole Advent season? Let's not wait for, you know, on Christmas Day where we sing Silent Night. Because I guess in a society where, you know, we're, you know, it's about numbers, it's about, profitability,
the
right?
Bottom line,
That's not the case. Mm-hmm. Christmas is, you know, the nativity story teaches us many things about humility, to slow down. Mm-hmm. And that leads right into what are we doing to get ready for Christmas? Like, what do we do during Advent?
Yeah, what are some of our traditions? Well, we set the Christmas tree up.
Yeah, right? We're looking at it right now.
That's one thing we do.
Yeah, we did that early and we're going
to... We have to still decorate it, mind you, but,
but it's nice
it's
and
up. Yeah.
It's lit. We put up two nativity scenes. Around our place here.
In the manger, yeah.
Some people put Christmas lights. People sing songs.
We put a Christmas wreath on our door.
Christmas wreath. And, you know, people start, they do special baking and goods.
Some people go caroling door to door.
Yeah,
I remember that. I remember doing that as a kid in elementary school. We did that in our neighborhood. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we should bring that back, too.
So the way churches celebrate Christmas is on the first Sunday of Advent. They put the big wreath.
The Advent wreath,
And there's five candles. The first candle is violet, which symbolizes hope and is called the prophet's candle. The old prophets of the Old Testament, especially Isaiah, waited in hope for the Messiah's arrival.
So that's the significance of the first candle. And the second candle, which is also violet, represents faith, and it's called the Bethlehem's candle. So Micah had foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, which is also the birthplace of King David. So that's its significance.
The third candle is a rose candle, and it symbolizes joy and is also called the shepherd's candle. To the shepherd's great joy, the angels announced that Jesus came for humble, unimportant people like them, too. In liturgy, the color rose signifies joy. Mm-hmm. And it's a time just to take a break, you know, from all that's gone on the past few weeks.
The fourth candle represents peace, and it's also called the angel's candle. So the significance here is that the angels announced that Jesus came to bring peace. He came to bring people close to God and to each other again.
And the fifth candle is white, and it's put in the middle, and it represents light, purity, and is called the Christ candle. And again, it is placed in the middle and lit on Christmas Day.
Yes.
So some story we always like TV shows we watch is Peanuts Christmas Story.
Yeah.
And Charlie Brown asks, "What's Christmas all about? Christmas all about?" And Linus steps up. The lights go on, everything goes off, and what does he say?
He reads this passage. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
And Linus ends up saying, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown."
And indeed it is, isn't it?
Indeed it is. Advent is a time to wait, listen, and ponder the awesome wonder of God who sent his only son as a baby to save us. Let us pause and spend some time this season reflecting on God's gift of love.
So some simple things that we can pray for during Lent is first, let's pray for attentiveness to what truly matters without being distracted by, you know, trivial things. Pray for opportunities to learn something new every day. Pray for discernment of how God would like you to set your priorities and the ability to focus on them consistently to fulfill his purposes in your life.
Pray for the grace to be able to rest, to become aware of God's presence in your life. Pray for a strong relationship with others, with other people in your community. Pray for peace in all situations, no matter what the circumstance.
Pray for an enlivened imagination that helps you contribute to the world in creative ways. Pray for freedom from all that burdens you. The past mistakes, fears, destructive habits, hurts that you have inflicted on other people, etc. Pray for joy and a sense of humor.
So I like
crack
that.
A joke.
Yeah, joy. That's what the show's all about. Jesus with us, reflections of joy.
Amen.
Pray for confidence in God's love for you and trust in his power to work things out for the best in your life. Pray for a clear mind and the ability to clearly communicate what you value to others.
Pray for purity so you can grow as a person and encounter God more fully. Pray for an openness to the Holy Spirit's guidance. He's always there to guide us. Pray for a genuine awareness of God's grace in your life and the humility to extend grace to others.
So there's many things to pray for. We just wanted to share some with you. Maybe, you know, you have a lot more that you want to do or different ideas. And we encourage you to do that. Then this is the time of longing, waiting, hopeful expectation.
And when you pray, actually at the beginning, we forgot to set the scene, or the mood, right? We always say, you know, light that candle,
dim the lights. What we're doing, We have a Christmas tree and we have the fireplace channel. Mm-hmm. And that will set you in the mood, like, Just to ground you. Yeah. And just to slow you down, mm-hmm. right? Because there's just so many good things going on in our lives and mm-hmm. we want to do everything. And
that's right.
So that's not the case. I think for Christmas, sometimes less is more, right? So that's something very important to do is, you know, find that prayer time. You know, that quiet time, mm-hmm. whatever. You could do an hour in adoration. Bishop Barron said, start with an hour. If you can't do an hour, do half an hour. If you can't do half, do 15.
If you can't do 15.
Go to 10. But the whole key is showing up and making,
making that time.
Yeah, for the baby
and
Jesus.
Maybe you can't do that half hour, but you can maybe do, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and it leads to a half an hour, to an hour.
And
right?
read stories like the Nativity story. It's in the two of the Gospels. And reflect on them, you know, contemplate on them, pray on them, pray with them, mm-hmm. be part of them.
Right.
So just an idea what to do in this Christmas season.
And now, how can we bring Christmas joy to ourselves and to our family?
Number one is generosity. It's more fun to give than it is to receive.
It is, yes. And you are a very giving person.
Well, I think we all have, thank you, Marianne, mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And we all have something to give, you know, mm-hmm. if we have time, mm-hmm. talents, mm-hmm. and even financially, yeah. right? And we're all gifted with something.
And the Christmas season is a lot about Christmas, about giving, right?
Yeah, just give away and just, mm-hmm. You know, seeing the smile on those that maybe the less fortunate I think a big thing is spending time.
Yes,
be generous with your time.
Lending an ear even.
Yeah.
Another way to bring Christmas joy is by peace. You know, we have to be, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, right? For they shall be called children of God. So let's try to focus on being those peacemakers.
Yeah, and then something is the scene of peace.
Wrong. Let's be those peacemakers.
Yeah. Speaking of peace, that the sense of peace at the nativity mm-hmm. scene is just amazing, and hopefully we can achieve that throughout this Advent season. You know,
the silent night.
Other things that we can do is put others first. We can also stay hopeful, mm-hmm. being positive. You know, we mentioned there's a lot going on, work, inflation, gas prices and all, but being hopeful is just realizing how blessed we are, and not talking financially or materially, but, you know, having each other, having one and our family in our lives.
And our hope is in Christ, right? Focus on the baby Jesus. He's all of our hope. Another way is just bringing joy into our world. And it is a joyous time.
Yes.
This Advent season, right? Because even, you know, when you think about it, joy is really a gift that you can share with others. You know, so, make it fun. Crack a joke.
Tune out social media with all the craziness for like Black Friday and Boxing Day.
And
you know, it's what's in between that counts, mm-hmm. right? And that's the Advent season leading to Christmas. And, you know, there's a joy right there. And it doesn't cost us anything. It's a simple choice.
And I'm reminded from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice.
Because when we rejoice, we can
celebrate. And let's have a celebration, right? Like the song.
Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah. Celebrate good times.
Because every day is precious. And that's the beauty of our faith is, you know, it teaches us the many graces and blessings that are in all of our lives, right? And we need to celebrate that, especially now in the, you know, Advent season.
Yeah, so we can plan an event each week in December, maybe have some people over, a little party, you know.
Yeah,
enjoy
just
each
book
other's
it.
Company,
set the
food,
time.
Drink, you know.
Set the time.
Yeah.
And all of this leads to that Beatles song, All You Need Is
Love.
Right? And it's
and really, that's the best gift of all, right? Love.
Yeah, especially in this wonderful loving season. Mm-hmm. We celebrate love. We celebrate each other, our family, our friends, and make new friends, strangers, less fortunate. You know, keep that door open. And as they say, let's spread the love. Mm-hmm. So other things we do for Christmas is... I think the big thing is we attending mass, right? It's so, I don't want to say it is important, but it's so essential.
It is.
Right. It's both that mm-hmm. when we're part of the sacrifice of the mass, it just makes the whole Advent season so much deeper. Mm-hmm. We hear the readings. Mm-hmm. We hear the homilies. It's a special time, and it's here.
It is. Right? It is.
And the next thing you know, it's like, it's gone. What happened? We'll be doing our January show. But right now, let's just enjoy the season that we're in.
Yeah, the Advent season.
So some of the Bible verses we'd like to share with you are, we start with Isaiah.
So, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Also from Isaiah. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Such a beautiful passage. I love
yeah.
that passage.
And in the yeah. book of Psalms, it says, and let all kings bow down before him. All nations shall serve him. And the famous one from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And in Revelations, it goes on to say, and she gave birth to a son, a male, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So, dear sisters and brothers in Christ, that was a little bit about Advent to get us all into the joyous Christmas season, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right now we're going to take a short break with a beautiful song.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we will do a recap of the past year of renewal, where we were, our goal was to set the world on fire.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame. All hail, said he, the lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, glory. Shall be Emmanuel, I see his foretold, most highly favored, made glory. And gentle Mary meekly bowed her head to me, be as it pleaseth God, she said. My soul shall out and magnify his holy name. Most highly favored lady, Gloria. Gloria.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
So welcome back. We started the year, January, a new year, a renewal of our faith. And our goal for the year was to set the world on fire with the new attitude we got from the year past.
That's right.
So January is, the message is, it's a fresh start. Good old days, but good new days. We focused on, it's not what happens to us, but what we do about it. We set goals, and our vision was to keep Jesus at the center of our life.
Yeah, with this new year, right?
And some of the words that we used were?
Restore, refresh, rejuvenate, alleluia, amen, invigorated, marvelous, and manifestation. All like really powerful words to set the world on fire, weren't they?
You know, to start the year off afresh, a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved to February. In February, the topic was mental health and mental health awareness.
That's right.
You know, it's an awareness that we're dealing with many things in our lives, especially with the COVID. We're dealing with
stress, anxiety,
inflation. Are we going to keep our jobs? Mm-hmm. All these things add to our daily lives that maybe we didn't have like 2-3 years ago.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So
there's lots of pressure.
Yeah. So we had a message for mental health, and that was?
Well, it was to overcome by staying, first of all, healthy, seeking help if needed, but mostly seeking help from our faith, right? From Christ, keeping Christ at the center. Inviting the Holy Spirit to come in is another way to cope with it.
That's something so at the core of our Catholic belief is, you know, the Holy Spirit.
And staying open to because in life, there's always ups and downs. So being aware that, you know, we may be a little bit stressed and anxious right now, and but knowing that, you know, there's an end in sight, it's just an up and down.
And it's okay. You're not alone, mm-hmm. right? It's not a sign of, oh, you got to be tough, mean, and strong.
Right.
If you need help, reach out.
That's right.
And another thing.
And even if you see someone who needs help, try to reach out to that person to help.
Yeah,
that
you may be there to help that other person. Mm-hmm. So the focus was on mental health, and some of the words we used were
cope, courage, fortitude, resilience, and support, and most of all, hope. Hope in the Lord.
Wow, it was a busy, busy year. We went so many wonderful topics. So we moved on to March, and in March, the topic was Lent. And we also did a tribute to Father Vito,
who had recently passed.
Yeah.
I can't believe.
Yeah, we can't believe it. And we thought it'd be so... it would be, what's the word I'm looking for? To be nice to end the year with Father Vito sharing some words at the very end of our show.
Yeah, and I can't believe, like, sometimes it feels like forever that he's been gone, and other times, wow, it's not, hasn't been that long.
Yeah, it's so true. And the message for Lent is the 40 days in the desert to purify and strengthen our journey with Jesus, to let God into our hearts, and to prepare for his passion, death, and resurrection.
And we always prepare this journey in our desert through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And by focusing on these three, we always aim to get closer to God. And we asked questions like, what are we giving up or what are we taking on? Remember, it's always like this annual spiritual tune-up that we're doing. Another thing is, what blocks us and what is the necessary thing that we must do in order to become closer to God?
And something very important that we're to do is we're not to
be grumpy. And because often when we're taking on things and giving up things, we can get quite grumpy.
Yeah, because we miss
that's
it.
That's not the point, right?
Yeah, we miss having, you know, maybe those big meals. We like to drink. We like to watch TV. We like to stay out late. But then when we cut back those things, in the end, we realize, you know what? Maybe I didn't need those things after all.
Right. And it's all about turning away from sin and becoming faithful to the gospel, faithful to Christ, right? Getting that closer to
and
him.
And we asked everyone to be radical.
Right.
To have a radical lens. Let's don't do the same old, because nothing changes if nothing changes.
That's right.
And speaking of changes, that will probably be our topic in January.
And what were some words that we used, Nick?
Some of the words that we used for the Lenten season, repent, conversion, change, sacrifice, victory, radical, patience, tolerance, passion, focus, forgiveness.
Beautiful. Yes.
So we moved to April, and April was the cross and resurrection.
Yeah, and this time of the year, in the month of April, the topic of our focus was on Christ's resurrection, and his resurrection and death, right? From death, I should say. And the resurrection really provides us with hope, with purpose and meaning, and the confidence in the presence of overcoming death.
And the message is, the resurrection and life, all powerful in heaven and on earth, has been given to him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which God has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and the incomparability great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand into the heavenly realms. For above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. Wow. That was a very...
That's a beautiful passage.
Yeah, about Jesus' resurrection.
Really heavy.
And some of the words that we used for this month?
Of course, with the resurrection, there's always hope. There's joy. There's restoration. We are rejoicing, so there's an alleluia.
There's the glory of God, eternal Lord, celebration, and joy.
So from there, we went to May.
And in the month of May, what our focus was on the journey from Lent to Easter. Now what? And we looked at ways to continue celebrating the Easter season. We prayed the Via Lucis, which is the way of light. And we looked at the meaning of the Holy Spirit and ways to celebrate the Pentecost. And the words that we used during this month were
praise, worship, and hope.
And then in June, our topic was choosing a joyous attitude. We really focused all about joy. We looked at what is joy, why we need it, what brings us joy, what can take it away.
Yeah, yeah.
The steps to create a joyous attitude with always Christ at the center. And so our message was, you know, keeping joy as essential with Jesus at the center.
And we had an awareness of the joy thief. We need to be aware of things that would make us fearful. We do be careful not to have comparison. Watch out for the energy vampires. Don't be egotistical, pride, and entitlement. And some of the words that we used for this June, this joyous month, are...
Once again, rejoice, radiance, jubilance, and surrender.
So the month of July, the topic was St. Ignatius, the Jesuits, Ignatian spirituality, all for the greater glory of God.
And the main message was seeing God in all things. The main focus for the Jesuits always has the examination of conscience.
Yeah, we have about four or five, like prayer, the ways to pray as the Jesuits did.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so the first one, as Mary Angela said,
the examination of conscience, which is becoming aware of God's presence, reviewing the day with gratitude, paying attention to your emotions, choosing one feature of the day and praying from it, and then lastly, looking forward towards tomorrow.
And we recommend that do it whatever works for you. It could
at
be
the
in the morning,
of the day, at could, the end of the day.
Yeah, it could be in your car. Mm-hmm. And another short examination of conscience is a three-part one. What have I done? What am I doing? And what will I do to become closer to God? Another form of prayer that the Jesuit order does is the spiritual exercises. And it's usually done on a silent retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend these silent retreats because there you can hear the voice of God.
Right. Always in the silence. Another form of prayer is focusing on the ups and downs of daily life through desolation and consolation. There's also contemplative prayer where we put ourselves in the passage. You know, we take a passage and we become maybe one of the protagonists in the passage. You know, what do we see, feel, hear, taste, touch?
Yeah, all this, we use all our senses. Mm-hmm. And like, it's different than a Lectio Divina because here we become part mm-hmm. of the prayer. And I recommend maybe go on YouTube or look into it and seeing how powerful this simple prayer can be. Because last time I was at Manresa, we were part of the contemplative prayer. And Father Knox spoke about how Jesus, we were all at the table eating with him. And mm-hmm. he said, just imagine you being there. Hmm. What are you eating? Hmm. What does it taste like? What does it smell like?
Hmm.
You know, you look around, you look at all the people in the room And then all of a sudden, Jesus turns around and looks at you.
Wow.
Right? Then he said, what are you feeling? How's your heart rate? Right? Are you breathing properly?
Yeah.
And that's a really wonderful.
Yeah, it really gives you a different perspective of putting yourself in the passage, in that prayer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of the words that we used were detachment, surrender, transformation, enlightenment, and discernment.
And some famous of the Jesuit phrases are, the world is charged with the grandeur of God, to set the world on fire, and
be still and know I am God. So we moved on to August, and the topic was the power of prayer. So we did August, but there was just so much to talk about prayer that we did it in a two-part, two-month version, part one and part two.
So we used August and September.
September. And again, the topic was the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is many things, you know, but we kind of brought some ideas and some ways to explain prayer. Prayer is our communication with God. It is our relationship with Him.
It's our lifeline to Him. It's our dialogue with God, our conversations with Him, right? And prayer is our exercise of our faith and our hope and our trust in the Lord.
And we had some quotes like, is prayer your first option or your last resort?
Yeah, that's always a question you should put to yourself.
Yeah, right? and we discussed that there's so many ways to pray that there is no exact way to pray. The main thing is that you are present and you show up because God is always there.
Sometimes prayer can be just a way of just being in the presence of the Lord, right? In front of the Blessed Sacrament, for example.
Yeah, and just letting God in, because it's nice to pray and never stop, but it's also nice to listen, to let, you know, God in, because God is trying to come in, but we're so busy talking to Him, because we said that prayer is a communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's a dialogue. It's about back and forth. So whatever suits you best, you know, you can do the Divine Mercy, you could do the Rosary.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways to pray. You can do the Lectio Divina and do as Marianne just said. You could just sit.
And be present.
Be present. Look at
just the
sacred picture.
Mm-hmm.
Include Mother Mary in your prayers.
Yes, yes.
Because where Jesus is,
the Rosary,
there is His mom, mm-hmm. Mother Mary. Or just pray, as mentioned before, like with a crucifix in front of you,
mm-hmm.
right?
So I like this quote. Prayer is exhaling the spirit of man and inhaling the spirit of God. I like that. And prayer also shouldn't be thought of as a duty, right?
Yeah.
It's something that we must do, but rather something as a privilege that we get to do, something that brings us joy, in fact.
Right? Yeah. And our message was to show up because, you know, it's so important to make time for God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's always there.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the words we used were reverence, dialogue, and relationship. So we moved to October. And we had a program. The topic was an attitude of gratitude. And our message was,
just being thankful for all the many blessings in our life, right?
And if we look around, what was the thing you mentioned, Maranja? A gratitude list?
A journal to keep.
A gratitude journal.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see, like, how many things that we have in our lives that we're so blessed with that we don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the words that we used.
We're humble, content, giving, peace, traveling light, and just simplify.
And from there, we moved to November, and the topic was Christ the King. And how, in a distracted world, Christ the King will connect us back to God. So whatever issues that we have, Christ the King has the answers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to turn to Him.
And the message was that the Christ the King of the universe, He's there and He will come again to make things pure and to start things all anew. So we always can turn to Him.
And some of the words that we used for that month are?
Lord of Lord, King of Kings, and Sovereign King.
Yes. And so we did it.
And we did it. Here we did are, 11, the end of 2022.
We did 11 months in just about over 20 minutes.
Wow.
So we just have a few more minutes we'd like to share with you before we play the audio of Father Vito on Advent. We want to thank you for everyone that was part of this wonderful
year,
2022 mm-hmm. with us.
Lots to be grateful for you as friends listening to our program.
Because it's knowing everyone that listens. We share all of your stories. We don't say names, but we just share your wonderful stories because this show is all about you. This show is all about you and I and Mariangela and our journey towards Jesus.
And we appreciate your feedback. So thank you for coming up to us and letting us know that you listen and giving us that feedback. It nourishes us, right? It keeps us going.
It means a lot. And it's been a wonderful year to do this with you, Mariangela.
And you, Nick.
Thank you.
Yes.
We hope to bring you many more shows. And we close this program with this prayer.
And it's from Henry Nouwen. Lord Jesus, Master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparations for Christmas. We who have so much to do and seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people walking in darkness yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So thank you very much. We wish you a wonderful Advent season.
God bless.
A wonderful Christmas.
Yes.
A happy new year.
Yes.
And we'll have a wonderful new show ready for you in January. And we leave you right now with
Father Vito.
Father Vito. Take care and God bless.
Bye-bye.
My name is Father Vito Marziliano. I'm a priest in the Archdiocese of Toronto. And for the last 2.5 years, I've been assigned here as pastor of St. Patrick's Church in Wildfield, Brampton. May I begin by saying what Advent is not? I don't see Advent as being jumping towards Christmas or setting everything up as if Christmas is already here. So it's a time of waiting. Waiting not just for a calendar date, but waiting for the things that are happening in our life and how God is working in our life. And so my focus this year personally, and what I'm trying to share with my congregation, is where do we need Christ today in our life and individually, in our life, in our world? Where is he coming to what is he coming to touch? What is he coming to change? I rely a lot on what I learned as a child back in Italy, in my hometown. And somehow it's amazing how situations that you experience as a child grow up with you, mature with you, and they become more and more what gives you life, what helps you understand the events of life. So one example, I love nativity scenes, and that's where it all started when I was a child. And in the nativity scene, I was really able to see a lot of my own faith, a lot of my own vocation, a call that I tried to answer with the help of God. We would start making the nativity scene the beginning of Advent. And it was a work in progress. As we got closer and closer to Christmas and the little statues began to be placed, it wasn't just a stable with the Holy Family and one shepherd and the ray and the wise man, the Magi. It was a whole village and different people doing different things. And then as Advent led to Christmas, you would see people placing these little figurines closer and closer and closer to the manger. And at that time, of course, as a child, you think it's fun, it's beautiful. But then as you grow and you mature in your faith, you see how it is indeed a season to grow closer to Christ and see that every path in life leads to Him. The infancy narratives in both Matthew and Luke, those are the only two gospels that speak of the infancy narratives, are not there just to tell us how baby Jesus was born and what happened in his early years. They are an introduction to the gospel. They are a summary of the gospel. So anything that is in the infancy narratives is the whole story of redemption. We begin with, we're talking about movement again, and the whole story in Luke and Matthew is about movement. And it tells us that, you know, to be, to welcome Christ in our life, we have to be on the move. And so we look at those infancy narratives and we see Mary and Joseph on the move. We see the shepherds on the move. We see the angels on the move. We see even the stars are moving. I mean, they don't really move, but the star is guiding, moving. The Magi are moving. So to welcome the gospel means to be a people on the move. Nowhere in the gospels do we hear about the ox and the donkey being there. You know, and yet, for me, those are beautiful figures that I remember as a child placing them carefully there. And I remember the grandparents telling us, you need to get them very close to Jesus because they're the ones who keep him warm. Then you realize with time passing by, yes, you need them close to Jesus, but why? You know, they're not scripture figures, not in the manger anyways. And then you see people like the saints, St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, speaking of them as representing humanity. The ox representing the Jewish nation, because the ox was the animal of sacrifice in the temple. That's why the Gospel of Luke, for example, that begins in the temple with Zechariah, has the ox as its symbol. And so the ox at the manger is representing those who were waiting for him. And then there's a donkey. The donkey that is the animal of burden. And so the donkey is representing everyone else who carried the burden of not knowing the true God. And yet Christ is coming for all. Another example that I see in the story of the birth is the story of the crucifixion and resurrection. It's all already previewed in the infancy narratives. Finding no room, they have to go to a borrowed cave manger. Christ being laid in a borrowed tomb. In the early depictions of the nativity scene, if you go, for example, to one of the churches in Milan, a beautiful old church, St. Ambrose Church, if you look at the amble, where the proclamation of the word is, there is one of the first nativity scenes sculpted that came from a sarcophagus. And there is no Mary and Joseph for a long time. There is the ox and the donkey. and Christ wrapped up like a mummy in not a manger, but what would be a sarcophagus. So you have the child in swaddling clothes. That is really the Christ come down from the cross. There is no straw or hay for the animals to eat. Christ is their food. And so you have the Eucharist element in there. You have the Christ giving element. And then the wise men placing their gifts before the child. The image of life. You know, the wise men followed the star and then they reached the Christ child and laid down their gifts. We follow the light, which is Christ. And at the end of our journey on earth, when we come to meet Christ face to face, we lay down the gifts of who we are, what we've been, and present them to him. So it's not just Christmas. It's everything stemming from there. Just like the infancy narratives are not just narratives of the baby Jesus. They are the summary of the entire gospel.
May the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you.
You have been listening to Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.